This afternoon, we're continuing our series on the Ten Commandments, and we've been going through several of them. And the first one was, no other gods, that you shall have no other gods before me. And then the second commandment was, no graven images. And then the third one was, do not misuse God's name. Fourth one was to keep the Sabbath holy. And then, do you remember what the most recent one was? Yes. Honor your father and mother. And so today we're going to continue and go into the sixth commandment. And as Kelvin was talking about last week, is that at least the first four commandments is talking about how we relate to God. And now as we look into the fifth and the sixth commandment and onwards, we're actually seeing how we relate to other people. And so I want to talk this afternoon about your relationships with other people and how we relate to one another and how God can redeem that. Okay. So before we begin, let me pray for us. So God, I thank you for this afternoon. I thank you, Lord, that you have come, God, to bring your redeemed relationships here on this earth, both with each other, Lord, and both with you, Lord. And so we ask that this afternoon that you would speak deeply to us, Holy Spirit. Ask that you would move in our hearts, God, and that you draw us to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this verse is very short, but we're going to read it anyway. Exodus 20:13. Let's read it together. You shall not murder. So now we come to the sixth commandment. You shall not murder. Why should we not murder? Because God is the God who is in charge of life and death. God decides who lives and God decides who dies. And in the amplified version of this, it says, you shall not commit unjustified, deliberate homicide. So it's talking about being unjustified, meaning that it is not for a good reason. Okay. And this is different than killing for a just cause, or killing for the protection of what is right, or killing in order to overcome evil, or killing in defense. Specifically, the sixth commandment is talking about doing it in a way that is unjustified, that is deliberate, that is in spite and in evil. So maybe some of you have murdered someone before. And if that's you, the grace of God and God's forgiveness is free for you today. But maybe for some of you, you have not murdered anyone before. You haven't killed a person. And there might be the thought of, oh, good. Like, I'm good with this one this week. Like, I've never killed anyone before. And, you know, but it's not so easy. You're not off the hook yet, because actually later on in the New Testament, Jesus expands on this further. And he talks about this in Matthew 5, 21 to 22. Let's read this together. You have heard that it was said to the men of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders shall be guilty before the court. But I say to you that everyone who continues to be angry with his brother or harbors malice against him shall be guilty before the court. Raka, you empty-headed idiot, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, Sanhedrin. And whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of the fiery hell. So Jesus is saying, you've heard of the commandment before that you shall not murder. But Jesus takes this actually one step further. He says, actually, if you continue to be angry with your brother or sister or if you harbor malice inside of your heart, you're still guilty. And then he says, if you speak contemptuously or insultingly, if you curse your brother or your sister, then you are also guilty. And so Jesus is saying, that's the same as murder. You say, well, how can that be the same as murder? I didn't physically kill someone. But what Jesus is saying here is that murder starts in our heart. Murder starts in our heart. How does murder start in our heart? Well, it starts with the hatred, with the unforgiveness, the resentment towards others in our life. So murder is always done with malice. It's done with hatred and with ill intent. And this is what Jesus is saying, is that murder begins with all of the junk that is inside of our heart, the things that we are thinking. So let's look a little bit closer about what Jesus is saying here in Matthew 5. So here we identify at least three things that Jesus says that if you have these things, it's basically just as bad as murder. The first one here is the first part where he says, everyone who continues to be angry. Have you ever been angry before? We all have, right? Are you angry at someone right now? Is there someone in your life that if they walked up to you and you saw them face to face, that suddenly all of these emotions would start to bubble up and maybe like this bitterness would seem to well up inside of you? That's anger. One of the ways that Satan protects sin in your life is through anger. The other one I would say is pride. But pride and anger go hand in hand in trying to protect whatever is a stronghold or whatever is a sin in your life. And this is something that I am learning, is having a reactive spirit when people speak into my life. For some of you that know, I'm recently engaged. And so a lot of times I'm talking to my fiance, to Rachel. And Rachel is a sharpshooter and she does not let anything go by and she'll just say things as it is. And so sometimes she's just very direct towards me. And I grew up in an environment where I'm not as direct. You know, have you heard people say the sandwich thing where if you want to give like a, what is it? If you want to give a sort of advice or correction, you want to first start with a compliment and then maybe a suggestion and then end with a compliment, like a sandwich, you know what I'm saying? It's like, Sergio, you're a great man. If you could, you know, whatever it is. But all in all, I really appreciate you serving and, you know, basically the sandwich rule. Well, doesn't always work like that. And there's no sandwiches, all right? So anyway, sometimes when there's things that are said to me, my immediate reaction is to just react and just to get angry. It's like, well, why are you saying it that way? And this is a lesson that I'm learning again and again and again. And one day I was driving in the car. I was getting in the car and then I felt like the Lord spoke to me and he said, the reactive spirit is the first line of defense in protecting sin. If you're reacting in offense and anger, there is probably sin hiding behind it. So the Lord was saying to me, the reason why you're reacting so much is because there's something deep inside that you're trying to protect. And so I, in that moment, I had to confess of reacting. That whenever, not just one person, but in general, if people say to me some sort of correction, that I will react. And so I said to the Lord, you know, I'm sorry, I cut off the spirit of reactiveness. And the next time that someone speaks something into my life, I want to be able to receive it with humility and to be able to say, okay, I'm really trying to listen and allow the Lord to bring up into the light anything that is sin in my life. But all that to say is that anger bubbles up, and anger protects the sin in our life. Do you know people that are very reactive? You just say a little thing to them and they're like, rah! You know, like, why do you say that? We're all like that, okay? And I'm like that. So there's grace for you today that we can cut off all of our anger and all of our reactiveness. The second thing that it's talking about is harboring malice. Malice is the intention to do evil. Have you ever had the intention to do something evil? You know, in Psalms 1, it's talking about blessed is the one that does not walk in the way of sinners, that does not stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. Maybe you're saying, well, I've never had malice. I've never done something intentionally evil. But do you realize by participating in the sinful things that other people are doing, it's just as bad? It's just the same as malice. By watching violent movies, you are supporting violence. By enjoying watching people mock others on TV, you are doing the same thing as mocking. By watching pornography, you are supporting the pornography industry. So by standing in the same place that the sinners is taking, it's the same thing as committing the sin. It's the same thing as malice. It's the same thing as doing something with evil intent. And all of this, the anger combined with the malice, and combined with the last thing, which it says, speaking contemptuously and insultingly, or in other words, cursing. So think about the words that we say. Think about the words that you say, especially those that are close to you. Are most of the things that are coming out of your mouth positive or negative? So the more actually that we speak the negative, the more that we curse, actually you are disagreeing with God and you are agreeing with Satan. So whenever God speaks, he speaks for the edification of his children and his people. And even if it's a difficult word, like it's hard to hear, it always brings us up to the higher place. But when Satan speaks into your life, it always brings you to the lower place. And Satan is a deceiver. So sometimes he can say things that seem sort of good, but in the end, the fruit is bad. And so when God speaks, it's always to bring us up. And when Satan speaks, it's always to put us down. So when you similarly speak the words with your mouth and you curse, you're speaking the false identity over another person. And you're actually inviting the demonic and Satan to do whatever they want with that person's life, instead of speaking the truth of God and the kingly identity and the kingly and the true reality onto the person. I remember I was serving at PCS, and we were praying for one of the people that were a clinic servant, and he had tremendous pain in one of his feet. And it was, you know, he had it for not just one day, but he had it for a while. And it's to the point that he couldn't put weight on it. And it was just incredibly painful. And he was asking his wife to, you know, soak it and massage it and whatnot. And so when he came to PCS, he said, can you pray for me? So several of the people gathered around him and prayed. And actually by revelation of the Holy Spirit, we said, is there a reason? Can you ask God for a reason of why this is happening? And actually God brought to light that there were several members in his church that actually cursed him. So he served in ministry and what ended up happening was there were members in his church that didn't, I guess, agree with what he was doing, and they cursed him. And that came to his mind. So he said, okay, let's pray to cut off those curses. And so they led him through some time to cut off the curses. And then after cutting off the curses, his foot got better, got in like significantly better. And it was just so amazing. It's like, wow, curses have that kind of power over a person? Yeah, it does. Because when you curse, you're agreeing with the enemy for a person. But when you bless, you're agreeing with God for the person. So the longer that, the other thing is that we curse ourselves all the time. Do you realize that? Every time you speak something over yourself that does not agree with the truth of God, you're actually cursing yourself. And sometimes it's very subtle, and sometimes it's unconscious. For myself, like, I used to not be good in math. Can anyone relate? I just, for different circumstances, I just always did not do that well in math. In high school, I took stats and I was failing the class, and I was so scared that I wasn't going to get into college, because the thing is, like, once, for some colleges, after you get into college, they still expect that you maintain a certain grade point average or a certain baseline of grades, so you don't just slack off and go into senioritis. But I was trying really hard in the stats class, and I just could not pull up my grade. And then the other thing is, my parents, they put my brothers and sisters and I through a math program called Kumon. It's basically an after-school math program where you do packets and packets of math. And I hated it. Like, and I could never get ahead. There was level A, B, C, and it goes all the way to what? Oh, okay. Jimmy took it too. Oh, Jimmy works at Kumon. All right. I have nothing against you, Jimmy, but I could not get past level K or L. I just got stuck there. And then so Beth, my sister, surpassed, and she finished Kumon. And then Theo went past me, and then I think he finished. Did you finish? Oh, he didn't finish. But he got past me, and then I just got stuck there. And finally, you know, I'm a senior in high school, and I'm still doing Kumon. And it's just so embarrassing, because I would go into the room, and it's a, you know, tables full of like elementary school kids. And I'm the only high school senior sitting there and trying to do my math packets. But anyway, for whatever different experiences, I just got into my mind that I'm not good at math. Actually, in general, I said I'm not good at school in general. And it was only later on that God started to correct me. And this was only a couple years ago. But then, one time God said to me, he said, "You are a smart, holy man of God." And I said, "Wow, thank you, Lord." I said, "I get the holy part, but I don't understand the smart part." And he said, "Well, I want to redeem your brain." And so I started agreeing with what God was saying. So, and at that time, I was in seminary, so you have to write a lot of papers and things like that. So I would just agree with the Lord. Say, "God said I'm smart, so I can do this." And the more that I spoke it and I believed it and I spoke it into being, I actually ended up doing really well. And so it changed. And so that's the power of blessing and curse, is that you can just be careful about the words that you're saying, whether it's over yourself or over people. So the longer that you hold anger and malice and cursing, you know, these are the things that Jesus is saying, the longer you hold those things in your heart, it actually leads to murder. You know, here in America these days, we're experiencing unprecedented levels of violence and killing. Like, some of these things that we're talking about, shootings, for some of us, we were old enough to remember Columbine, and that was 1997, and that was like, it just shook the whole nation. But now Columbine is happening every other week. And it's almost as if we just become jaded. And it's so sad that this level of violence has become normalized in our country, in our society. But it's no surprised that we are experiencing these levels of violence in our nation today, because we are also a nation that celebrates anger, that celebrates malice, and celebrates cursing. You don't have to go far to just log on to any type of social media to see that we love to be angry. We love to curse, whether it's people that we don't know or people that we do know. And the problem of violence in this nation is you. The problem is with you, and it's with me. And it's because of our sin. So we can't just separate the two and say, yeah, I love, you know, I'm angry and I have malice and I curse people, but it doesn't affect anyone. Actually, it does. And the longer that we stay in that, the longer it leads to murder. And I think this is also some of what we're seeing in Hong Kong. It's just so much hatred and so much anger. And I think it would do well with each one of us is that we learn to realize that this is where it starts. It starts in the heart, and we need to lay it before the Lord. So I said that murder starts in our heart, but forgiveness starts in our will. Let's read this passage from Matthew. This is Jesus talking. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. An enemy is a person who is actively opposed or hostile to something or someone. So do you have any enemies in your life? Do you have any people that are actively opposed or hostile to you? How do you treat those people in your life? Jesus is actually giving us a description of how to deal with our enemies, which is to love them. When was the last time that you loved your enemy? When was the last time that you prayed for the person that hated you? You might say to me, well, Al, that's a very tall order. Like, how can I love my enemies? At best, sometimes we just tolerate them and we keep a distance and say, okay, well, whatever. But Jesus is not saying anything that he did not fulfill himself. To love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. Remember that it was Jesus Christ himself that did this. He loved and he washed Judas's feet. He prayed to the Father on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. To love our enemies and to forgive them starts with the will. Now, some of us have it backwards. Like, well, I'm going to wait until I feel ready. Then I will forgive the person. Actually, that's not the way that it works. You can't wait till you feel ready to forgive the person, because why? You'll never feel ready to forgive the person. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's what? It's a choice. It's something that we need to actively do. There's a story about this lady, and her name is Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch woman, a Christian, and from the Netherlands, who together with her family helped many Jews escape the Nazi Holocaust during World War II by hiding them in her home. Eventually, she and her family were caught and sent to the Ravensbrück concentration camp. Her sister Betsy died in the concentration camp. She was eventually released, Corrie ten Boom, but afterwards she was told that her release was because of a clerical error and that a week later all the women in her age group were sent to the gas chambers. Years later, she was in Germany preaching a message that God forgives, that when we confess our sins, God casts them into the deepest ocean, gone forever. After the message, a man who had been a guard at Ravensbrück walked up to her. And he said, "You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk," he was saying. "I was a guard there." "No, he did not remember me." This is Corrie ten Boom speaking. "But since that time," he went on, "I have become a Christian. And I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things that I did there. But I would like to hear it from your lips as well, Fräulein." Again, the hand came out. "Will you forgive me?" Corrie ten Boom says, "And still I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me," I prayed silently. "I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling." And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, and sprang into our joined hands. And this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. "I forgive you, brother," I cried with all my heart. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. So we go back to the sixth commandment, which is saying, do not murder. So if you remember, every time we go through the commandments, we're asking a question that says, what does this speak of the heart of God? What is God really saying in our relationship to one another? God's heart is reconciliation. His heart is reconciliation, both horizontally and vertically. Horizontally with our relationships with others, which is saying that every day that we must choose not to respond with anger, with malice, with cursing, but instead, we respond with grace, with patience, with forgiveness. This is God's heart for us. I was just reading this morning in Psalm 133, 1 through 3, and it says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." That's horizontal. But also at the same time, we remember that reconciliation is also vertical. Today is, what date is it today? December 1st, the very first day of December season. And all throughout the season, we just did it with the Advent, with hope, but we're remembering the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came upon this earth in the form of a baby to grow up and to die for our sins. His heart was reconciliation. Jesus came to reconcile someone and a people that hated him, that had all the malice and anger and cursing, and yet Jesus still chose to die for these very people, for you and for me. It says in Romans 5-7-9, it says, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love, his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So everyone who continues to be angry with their brother and our sister or harbors malice against them, we need to lay it down before the Lord. Because just as we receive forgiveness from God, that we also extend forgiveness to others. And if you don't forgive others and be reconciled to others, God actually says he will not forgive you. It's actually very harsh words. Like, God, what do you mean you won't forgive me? And God is saying, I forgave so much of your debt, and you are not willing to forgive a little tiny debt that someone else owes you. So today, we are going to be taking communion. So we remember both that Jesus' blood and his body was broken for us. But before you come up and take communion, I want us to spend some time reflecting and asking the Lord. And these are the two questions that I want you to spend asking the Lord. The first question is, Lord, whom have I hurt? And the second question is, how have I hurt them? And you ask the Lord to bring revelation and light. And as the Lord brings a revelation and light, I want you to lay it before God in prayer. Say, God, forgive me for what I did to this person or these people. And you ask the blood of Jesus to come and cover you. And as we do that, then you can come up. And as a symbolic act, you take the blood of Jesus that says, God, just as I ask for forgiveness and release forgiveness over others, so I receive your forgiveness over me and your body that was broken for me. So maybe we can spend some time reflecting. Maybe, Kelvin, you can just play something in the background. And you can stay in your seat and close your eyes. But ask the Lord these two questions. Whom have I hurt? In what ways have I hurt them? And if the Lord reveals anything to you, you just lay it down before him this afternoon. And then when you're ready, you can come up and take the communion. The communion is for those that have professed faith in Jesus Christ. So if you've not yet done that, I encourage you, you can let it pass. But you can still reflect upon these questions and ask God to forgive. Okay. So that we'll spend... You can spend a couple minutes, and when you're ready, you can come and take communion. Okay, I want to invite us to stand. As you stand, I want to bless you. If you feel comfortable, you can hold out your hands, and I'll just bless you today. So I bless you today that Jesus' blood forgives you. And his blood covers you for all of the offenses that you have done, and that his body that was broken for you can bring you wholeness and healing. And so I bless you today to receive the body of Jesus and the blood that can give you new life and that can cleanse you. Bless you today that the Lord wants to give you a clean slate, that he wants to wash you clean and give you clean garments to wear, clean garments of righteousness. And I bless you today that as you have surrendered all of the broken relationships before the Lord, that the Lord would also bring healing to your relationships. And by his grace, also reconciliation as well. And I bless you today that no longer would you harbor the malice, the anger, the cursing, but today you exchange it with the sweet water that comes from Jesus, that you'd be a mouth of blessing, and that your heart would be the same heart of Jesus, and that the steps in the path that you take is in the way of holiness. And so I bless you to walk before the Lord in the light, and that as you walk before the Lord in the light, that all of the darkness will expel. And so I bless you today that as you walk, that you impart the heart and the spirit of Jesus Christ to your family, to your coworkers, to your friends, to your relatives. And I bless you that you carry the presence of Jesus wherever you go. Presence of the Holy Spirit to be upon you and filling you through and through, and that you cannot love people perfectly by your own strength, but God will help you and he will help you to do it by his grace. And I bless you with this in Jesus' name. Amen.